Let's read together Proverbs 18, verses 1 through 12. Here in this first half of Proverbs 18, we have 12 more inspired Proverbs giving us helpful counsel in order to live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, for background, let's describe the strong tower that's most likely in view in verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe and secure. In Old Testament days, there were several kinds of tower, depending on how they were used. There were the watchtowers, which were built in the middle of vineyards for guarding the vineyard from thieves and destructive animals, as well as guarding the harvested grapes. There were also the defensive towers, which were of three basic types. There were defense towers that were built as part of a city's walls. There were also defense towers that were built as an essential part of the city's gates. By the way, the foundations of a number of these towers have been found in the archaeological excavations. Most likely, the tower that is in view here in verse 10 of Proverbs 18 is a third type of defensive tower, which was a strong, solitary tower built in the center of the city for both defensive and refuge purposes. During time of attack, the citizens would run to the tower for safety. When we flee to the Lord, of course, as our strong tower, we are safe and secure from any attack. Verse 10, once again, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe or secure. The name of the Lord here in verse 10 is used for the Lord himself. Well, that brings us once again to our doctrinal point for this portion of the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment or sound wisdom. Now, it's not wrong to want some quiet time for yourself, for rest and relaxation and reflection and personal time with the Lord. That's not the idea here in the beginning of verse 1. A man isolates himself, seeks his own wisdom. This proverb is not against personal quiet time, but rather against antisocial and nonconformist behavior. It is selfish not to want the wise input of others in the decisions we make. Verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Have you ever been to a class or seminar where someone in the audience raises their hand and instead of asking an intelligent question, they just start talking to show how much they know or don't know, as the case may be? They obviously did not come to the session to learn and gain more understanding of the subject, but rather to draw attention to themselves. Closed mind, open mouth is the way of the fool. Verse 3, when the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. Now remember, Proverbs are general truths stated in general terms. So just because you may know of a wicked person who is prospering with no dishonor or contempt, does not falsify this proverb. Furthermore, the story is not yet over for these apparent exceptions. The biblical principle is, be sure your sin will find you out, Numbers 32:23. It may take place in this lifetime or at the final judgments, but you can be sure that contempt and dishonor and reproach will follow wickedness. Isn't it interesting how God many times allows wickedness in high places to be uncovered in the most unusual ways? The truth leaks out. You can't cover up the truth forever. Verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Now, the biggest question about this proverb is whether it is Hebrew antithetic parallelism or synthetic parallelism. That is the second line of the proverb in contrast to the first line, or is it a continuation of the first line? Some translations emphasize the contrast by including the word but. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. In other words, without wisdom, words can be hidden like the deep waters of a stagnant cistern. But in contrast, the words of wisdom are like a continuous fountain of refreshing water flowing out in a crystal clear stream. On the other hand, if the structure of this proverb is continuous, or synthetic parallelism, then the deep waters are not the idea of obscure and stagnant, but rather a profound and inexhaustible supply of wise words for the fountain. Well, we can't be sure, but both lines of thought can certainly be supported by the rest of Scripture. Verse 5, it is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. This proverb alone is enough to condemn kangaroo courts, false witnesses, unjust legal loopholes, unjust deal setting, deal cutting, and unjust plea bargaining. The Bible has many other passages that condemn partiality and other miscarriages of justice. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 10, just as one example. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. From Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Verses 6 and 7. Let's take the Proverbs of verses 6 and 7 together. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Two things are said here about the words of a fool from these Proverbs. Number one, they will generally get him into trouble. Think of the fool's mouth as a self-ensnaring trap. And number two, corporal punishment is not wrong for the trouble brought about by a fool's words. In application, this truth would certainly back up the teaching that the discipline of children may include spanking. Verse 8, the words of a talebearer or gossip are like tasty trifles. They go down into the inmost body. Why is gossip so appealing and hard not to listen to? It's because of our fallen sinful natures. We love to hear little tidbits about other people's doings, especially if we don't naturally like those people. It gives us a sense of being superior to them. Now, some Christians cover up their innate desire for gossip by calling it prayer concerns. We need to be especially guarded about the sin of gossip as we grow older and move into retirement with more time on our hands. If anything, the problem of gossip grows. Prayer for others, yes. Gossip about others, no. Verse 9, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. The idea of brother here means that the lazy person and the destructive person belong to the same classification. A person who is asleep at the switch can lead to great destruction of life and property. Taking stupid shortcuts to save time or money can lead to ruin rather than repair. This proverb also has great application to the church and ministries. Lazy leadership leads first to negligence of responsibility and then to a breakdown of the church or ministry. It's been rightly said that a church or ministry may be disintegrated and destroyed through laziness as well as by satanic attack. Verse 10, we looked at this proverb under our background notes. Verse 11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. We saw in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 15, that money, when used wisely, can give a measure of earthly security. The danger, of course, is to think, as we see here in verse 11, that money is your ultimate protection. It's not. Notice the contrast between verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong and secure and protective tower. That's fact. Verse 11, money is your strong city and wall of protection. That's fiction. How much security can money provide in times of terminal illness, for example? Notice at the end of verse 11 how this false concept of the security of money is your own imagination, not God's truth. Well, once again, we see that the Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Now let's take our practical application for this talk on the first half of Proverbs 18 from verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Practical application for this second half of Proverbs 18. The higher you fly, the harder you fall. The higher you fly, the harder you fall. Verse 12, once again. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The higher you fly, the harder you fall. Now, I'm sure you've heard that expression before. It's not a Bible verse, but it is a Bible truth, as we see here in the first part of verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Now, remember, we saw the same basic truth presented back in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. We have many examples of this in Scripture. Think of Goliath, for example. And of course, there is the prime example of Satan, who was lifted up with pride and fell because of this sin. We are warned about this sin in connection with the selection of church leaders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, where we are told not to select new converts for church leaders, lest they, being puffed up with pride, fall into the same condemnation as the devil. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. The second part of Proverbs 18:12 also has many examples in Scripture. Before honor is humility. Think of Joseph and Daniel, for example. And of course, the prime example is our Lord Himself. He humbled Himself and came from heaven's glory to die on a Roman cross, but is now exalted at the right hand of God. Read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 in this connection. We are exhorted to have this same attitude of humility. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." 1 Peter 5, 6. What a contrast to the way of pride. Remember, the higher you fly, the harder you fall.